spectator or a participant in the battle in this spiritual warfare. When asked to renounce his loyalty to the king or lose his head on the chopping block, the Scottish Marquis of Huntly responded resolutely, "You can take my head from my shoulders, but you will never take my heart from my king." That's the type of servant attitude Joshua had. He was a serving saint. He was also a seeking saint. Joshua was continually seeking the will of God. He believed the will of God. The reason we're reading about him is because he believed God said he would do what he said he would do. Numbers 14 and verse 6 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." You know, it's during this kind of famous story in the book of Numbers where Israel sends into the promised land 12 spies. Out of those 12 spies, 10 of them come back and they give an evil report. They say that we can't possibly beat the people that are in this country. They're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. They will completely wipe us out. And yet there were two men, Joshua and Caleb. We might study Caleb too, just spoiler alert, all right? Two men who came back and said, "We will not fear them. They are but bread for us. Do not be afraid. God will be with us. He already promised us this land." He said, "Let's go up at once. Let's go right now. We'll take them out right now. We'll beat them down." What the church needs is more people who believe what God says. Joshua was certainly a minority, but we need people today who, though in a minority, believe that God can, but more importantly, believe that he will accomplish his purpose. Faith is just that, having confidence that what God has promised, I am fully persuaded that he will perform. He will do what he says he will do. Joshua followed God's will, and he followed God's direction in his life. You know, there's another time in Joshua's life that we can read about, but for sake of time, we won't read through the entire passage. But we know the story of the walls of Jericho. It was Joshua who led that charge. And yet, as we read the story, most people know that the walls of Jericho came a-tumbling down. They might not know exactly how they came a-tumbling down, right? And it was really somewhat of an odd request, odd to us at least, that God offered to Joshua. He gave him some very strange directions from an angel of the Lord regarding the plans of attack for Jericho. He said, "What I want you to do is I don't want you to build a catapult," which is probably what I would expect to have in there, "a battering ram to take down the walls. Maybe it's an old school C4 or something along those lines." He said, "No, what I want you to do is I want you to walk around the city." He said, "You're going to get some trumpets. You're going to get the priests. You're going to get the people, the soldiers. You're going to all line up and walk around the city. One day, walk around one time. And then I want you to do it again on the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day." And maybe Joshua was waiting for him to say, "And then you just... everybody punch the wall at the same time," and or something. I don't know. Then I'll bring an earthquake. But it says, "In the fifth day, do it again. And the sixth day, walk around again." And then it says, "On the seventh day, walk around seven times. And then at the very end, you give the shout. They blow the trumpets. Everybody scream their heads off. And then go from there." And sure enough, as we know the story, Joshua followed those directions exactly. He was obedient to God's direction. and God gave him the victory. We're reminded in that story, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways and thoughts are so much higher than ours. But that's why Joshua was a legend. Thirdly, he was not only a serving saint. He wasn't only just a seeker of the sovereign, but he was a conqueror of a country. Joshua 1:6, he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." I love the promise that God gives Joshua. He says, "Every place you step will be yours." Man, I'd have been walking all over the place, right? I'd have been river dancing through that place. You know, I think about hearing a story from Pastor Ryan, how he went up to the former North Campus there in the old Craft Mall and walked around that building as he prayed. He said, "God, you know, if this is what you want us to have, give this to us." And he prayed that prayer of faith. And I remember him telling me that story. And as we came here to Circleville, as we began to pray that God would open doors, and we were renting it for a time. We were leasing the room where we were at there at Everett's. And then we began to look and see that the possibility of us moving into here. And I just remember taking that same example and these same verses and quoting them to God as we walked around this school building praying. People at McDonald's probably thought, "What in the world is this guy doing over here?" That was before we had the sign you could see from space. But I just remember walking and praying, "God, you know, you said, and if this is your will, God, this is what we want. We're claiming this for you, Lord." Joshua conquered a country. Listen, the church is not on the defensive. We're not huddled in a corner just trying to take all the blows we can to survive until Jesus comes back and gets us. He says the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Joshua had victory over the Amalekites, the Perizzites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and all the other Ike brothers that you could find in the Old Testament. And we have as well a spiritual victory through Jesus Christ. Maybe I haven't personally seen the movie. I guess I don't know if it's any good or not. So I can't recommend it to you. But there was a movie that just recently came out over the past year. It was called Dunkirk. And it was about a true story. And I don't know exactly the full story, but just kind of knowing the gist of it. It was a story about these 300,000 soldiers that were rescued from the beaches of Dunkirk. With the intervention of God and the valiant efforts of the entire British nation. But as the Prime Minister of Britain, Winston Churchill, noted, "Wars are not won by evacuations." Britain now stood virtually alone against a threatened Nazi invasion of their home island, but Churchill refused to be intimidated, and he assured his people of this: "We shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island. Whatever the cost may be, we shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing ground. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender." Joshua was going into a dangerous land. So dangerous, Numbers 13:33, here's what the other 10 spies saw. They said, And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. The problems that Christians face will not always be little problems. Sometimes there are big problems. But these people had it all wrong. These giants were the real grasshoppers compared to the God that Israel served. And you notice what they say. They said, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And yet the giants were in God's sight as grasshoppers. These giants were the real ones who had to fear. No matter how big the problem was, no matter how big the problem is that we face spiritually, we have to assure ourselves we're on the winning side. The land was dangerous, but the Lord was victorious. Joshua experienced such victory with the Lord. You know, another great saint in church history also traveled the dangerous road. Buried today in Westminster Abbey is a man who dared to go where no missionary had ever before trodden. The dangers were innumerable. He traveled thousands of miles on foot. He was mauled and crippled by a lion. His body was racked by such debilitating diseases as malaria and dysentery. While he is famous for his explorations of the African interior and the discovery of Victoria Falls, for the natives of Africa, he did something far more important. David Livingston brought them the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The great missionary pioneer, as he communicated with the Lord from his knees, while his body was carried on thousands of miles to the African coast to be sent back to England, his heart was removed and buried in Africa. For the Africans declared, his heart belongs to us. You think about ones like Joshua, who went before us, to see the courage. God reminded him, be bold, be courageous, be strong in the Lord. The victory, he says, is already won. I've won the victory. But I'm asking you still to go to battle. As believers, we can learn many lessons from Joshua, but maybe just three tonight, and I'll close with an illustration. We need to make sure we follow the spiritual leaders whom God places in our lives. The truth is, had Joshua not followed Moses, we would not be reading about Joshua. He would have been one in the camp. Secondly, we should seek to find God's will for our lives and walk in it. Above all, the question we should ask ourselves as Christians is, what does God want me to do? I think sometimes we make the answer to that question a lot more difficult than it needs to be. I heard some preachers say, if you take the gospel to a door, the will of God won't be lost, right? But we should seek to find God's will for our lives and then walk in it. Thirdly, we must do our best to focus not on the challenges before us, but rather on the power of God in order that we might win the victories for the cause of Christ. Instead of focusing on the giants, we should focus on the true giant. Joshua did just that. Let me close with this story. A story is told of a famous violinist who was to perform in a concert hall of world renown. As he stood before the packed house that night and played his violin, he mesmerized the audience with his skill. As he lifted his bow off the string on his final note, the hall erupted with thunderous applause, and he was giving a standing ovation. He looked at the crowd for a moment, walked off the stage, only to return to render an encore performance. To the amazement of the masses gathered there that night, his encore performance was even more beautiful and flawless than the first. He looked to the audience and left the stage for a second time, but was beckoned back by the deafening roar of the multitudes that once again stood to their feet. He gave yet another encore number, leaving the audience fumbling for words that could only describe what their eyes and ears just experienced. This sequence repeated itself several more times until finally this man finished his piece, looked at the audience, nodded his head, and simply walked off the stage, while the ferocious cheers could still be heard long after he exited. Reporters pressed outside the violinist's dressing room. waiting to catch a word from the man who had just given the performance of a lifetime. As he emerged from the small room, one reporter asked the question, "Sir, why did you give so many encore performances? You could have stopped after the first and everyone would have been amazed." The violinist stopped and replied, "For the very first time in my career, my master, the one who taught me to play the violin, was in the audience. When I finished my performance, everyone stood except one person. I played again. Everyone stood to applaud except for him. I continued to play. On the conclusion of the last encore, I looked into the seats and I noticed that everyone, including my master, was standing and applauding. It was only then that I was satisfied that I had done a good job." Christian, who are you living to please? If your life is focused on receiving the praises of men, or are we striving to please your master and only your master? The writer of Hebrews said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, our eyes, our focus is on him, Jesus Christ alone, that he may be satisfied that we did a good job when we hear his words, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" I think Joshua heard those words. Would you stand with me this evening, Mr. Nate? It's my desire that at the end of my life, I would hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."